welcome in to the Thursday edition of the Daily Tap. It is May 24th. How is everybody doing? Hope you guys are having a great day. It is the prelude to Memorial Day weekend. Some of you, it is the last day you're in the office. I'm jealous of you. I will be at the day job all week, but that's okay. We will also be on the Daily Tap all week, all weekend. So if you're traveling, if you're going to load some of these up, we will at least give you enough content so to keep your drive rolling. If you're headed up north, you're heading down south, going to Indy, whatever it is in your bag for this weekend. So stay safe as always. And you know that you can find us on SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We also have a website. We have a Facebook event right now for the SnowTap Party. I will be getting out invites to the tappers who have not already interacted with it. You guys will receive an invite, and I hope to hear from you, and I hope that I see you all there on the 9th. More details to come as we know them. So let's get right into it. You guys know where you can find us. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever your preference is, sign up, and we look forward to hearing from you. Maybe give us a rating. Maybe let us know that we're doing a good job. 5 stars. We'd always appreciate it, and definitely worth our time. So let's go right into the Sterling Brown scandal with the Milwaukee Police Department. It is probably worse than I think even we thought about it on Tabbing the Keg. We talked about it yesterday, and Mitch and I sort of said that things could be bad. You know, they were, it seemed like the police department was embracing for probably the worst case scenario, and it definitely played out. It was a horrifying video. The abuse of power by the Milwaukee Police, and just an absolutely terrible look by all involved parties. I mean, they just completely beat the shit out of Sterling Brown. And he really had no reason that should have happened. Brown apologized for what happened and tried to, you know, mediate with the cops. And the cops were having nothing of it. They got out the taser and stunned him, and he was profiled. I mean, everything Tony Cartagena reported yesterday was completely accurate. It was a seemingly profiled job. It paints the Milwaukee Police Department in a bad light, and you hate that a couple bad eggs are the what's going on, because this is a, I would say Milwaukee Police has an issue. I think the police department has had multiple issues, whether it's the county or just the city itself, have had problems after problems. And Tulsa Police had an issue last week where someone punched a young teenager at Mayfair Mall. I mean, I think we have just people who are cops who think that because they're cops, they are the end-all be-all of law enforcement. And in some cases, they are. But in things like traffic stops and things like removing people from a mall, they don't need to be the end-all be-all. They save that shit for the murderers, the rapists, the drug dealers. Save it for people who are causing real harm. Save it for the people who are fueling the heroin epidemic here in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas. Don't worry about guys who are violating parking laws and double parked at a Walgreens. It's just that's the thing. And I think even those who are very pro cop would look at that video and say, this is an abuse of power. And this is a man who is going beyond what his job is in the line of duty. And there's no reason that he should have a job. Now, do I think he's worth publicly shaming? I don't think so. I don't think that it's worth Milwaukee area, because it's not worth an all out war here. We don't want a cops versus civilian thing, and there's no reason for a private citizen to get docked like that. I know some people might say, "Well, fuck him. He doesn't deserve those common rights." I hate that about our country. Our country has got to this point where if someone does something wrong, then we have to keep batting at his level or her level. We don't have to do that, guys. We can be the better people and not report that and not have that out there unless it is publicly known of the firing. If the police department release that person's name, it's free game. It's free game to see what he's done on social media. That becomes a public story. But if it is a private matter, it should remain a private matter, and we shouldn't try to go digging and bat lower, because nothing good comes of that. Nothing good comes of it. We're so quick to publicly shame people, and whether they deserve it or they don't deserve it, it ruins lives. It just, and yes, did he do something that was an abuse of a power and deserves to lose his job? 100% he should not have a job. There's one specific cop in that video where he should not be on the force. He should not be on any forces, and he should just retire from being a police officer. That's it. And not retire, he should be fired, but he should not be a police officer again in his lifetime. He's taken his job to another level that where it doesn't belong. And I think that is, but it shouldn't be this thing where this guy shouldn't live a life. I mean, he made a very big mistake, and I hope he admits it. I hope he reaches out to the Milwaukee Bucks. I hope he reaches out to Sterling Brown. I hope that everybody finds a way to unite as one and to not pull themselves apart. I think it's great with the Stand With Sterling hashtags. I think that is a fantastic gesture by guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Shabazz Muhammad, DJ Wilson, Thon Maker, Tony Snell, to name a few. But at some point, we need to bring all of this together and work as one, because as much as the Bucks are in the community, the Milwaukee Police Department is in the community, and people pay attention to both. And if the police don't show respect to the Bucks, then people aren't going to show respect to the cops. If the Bucks don't show respect to the police, people aren't going to show respect to the police. And you're just going to have all this disrespect. And it doesn't necessarily need to happen. We just need to come together, and this needs to be an unfortunate incident. And after a few weeks, let's bring it back. Let's start mending those fences. And I hope Mayor Barrett, I hope the police chief does that, and I hope they really do make strides in the coming months before this new arena begins. Moving on to the NFL anthem topic. It is a hot topic right now. NFL owners coming out and saying that basically people will have to stand for the anthem if they are out on the field, and that if they're not on the field, they will be in the locker room and they can stay in the locker room for the anthem. We have officially politicized the NFL. The NFL is so involved with politics, and it doesn't need to be. And yet the owners do not want the embarrassment. They do not want the ideas of, you know, what these players, and they don't understand that a lot of this is to protest what just happened to Sterling Brown. Literally, what happened to Sterling Brown is why they are kneeling, or why they are, you know, looking away from the flag or something like that. It is due to the racial injustices in this country. That said, we're headed for a lockout, folks. Like, I hope everybody realizes it. I don't really want to spend too much time on the anthem, because I think it's already been said. Trump came out today and supported the anthem early this morning, and that shouldn't surprise anybody that Trump is all for this. And Trump even said, you should be out of the country if you're not standing for the flag. I just think he always takes it to that hyperbole level. And so that is just sort of Trump being Trump at this point. I think no one really should be surprised that Trump went to an extreme. But I'm not here to really talk about the anthem. I'm here more to talk about the fact that the NFL is going to lock out. The NFL is headed for a lockout next summer. Labor negotiations are going to happen. And let me tell you, if the owners think that they're going to be able to run over the players like they did 5 years ago, they have another thing coming. It is not going to happen. It is going to get damn ugly. It is to the point where they have to find a way to hurt the wallets of the owners. And to hurt the wallets of the owners would be the lockout. It would be they could have replacement players. We saw it in 1982. But they have to hold strong and avoid something like 82 happening, where, you know, guys cowered back at some point. The owners need to concede to the players, and they need to be more player-friendly, because right now it is the most owner-friendly of the four sports, and it is not doing their players any favors, and these players are, I think, ready to revolt. I don't think that they're going to stay in. I think staying in a locker room with an entire team sends a huge message. I think some people, it's not just about the anthem. It's about other abuses of power that the owners continue to show day in and day out. And that the NBA is at such a better level with their players and with their commissioner that the NFL sees that, the players especially, and say, why can't we be like that? Why can't we be like the NBA? And that's a fundamental problem. And I don't know how the NFL is going to fix it. I have zero idea. I think that it's so broken that they need to start over again. And they need to start over with a new commissioner who he or she has new ideas and has new plans. And I can't believe they gave Goodell another 5 years. And it may destroy the NFL. The NFL may be the last year we know the NFL. I'm dead serious. I have a feeling that we are going to see a fundamental shift, and it's much due to potentially not having football next season. I think there is a real chance they can get replacement players because there's so many Uncle Ricos out there who will play football and who will do it at a cheap cost. Or if you're saying, we'll give you $300, you don't think Johnny Manziel would be a scab next year? I'm not saying that. It's scab's such a bad word. It is such a bad word. But you don't think Johnny Manziel wouldn't play? Of course he would. You don't think all those guys in the CFL wouldn't play? All the guys in arena? Of course. And you don't think that there would be fantasy leagues still? Yeah. But at the same time, at some point the quality and the ratings would plummet. I mean, some of us would care just because that's what we do. We watch football. But others would give zero shits. All right, to put a bow on this podcast, the Milwaukee Brewers are red fucking hot. They win again. They are 15-6. They have the best record in the National League. They have their best mark in history of the Brewers through 50 games. Now, here is the scary part. The Milwaukee Brewers had marks in 2009 and 2014 where they had high watermarks like this. We know what happened in 2014. They fell apart down the stretch. And this has always been the theme, right? That the Brewers sort of just slink back and they don't get close. Then they got close. They were six games out of a wild card spot and fell apart in 2014 with a 9-16 July, a 13-14 August, and a 9-17 September. After a hot start in March and April, there were signs that that could have all fallen apart. 2009, right after they had won the wild card and were rolling, they ended up going 12-15 in June, 9-16 again in July, and they didn't have a 500 record for the rest of the months after May. I don't think that would happen this year. I remember they traded Zach Greinke. No, that was after. That was 2012. Excuse me. But still, the Brewers were, you know, I think this is different. I know that people are going to be like, come on, Charlie. Like, why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you getting yourself excited about the Brewers? Because I know this is different. I thought it from game one that things felt different. The fact that the G-Man Choi double, the Ryan Braun home run to win it in game two of this year. The Brewers are a different team. And do they need some pitchers? For sure. They definitely need to bolster that pitching staff. And that is known. But this offense is rolling right now. Zach Davies comes off the DL. Ryan Braun comes off the DL. Hopefully Ryan Braun can find his stroke again. I'm writing something later this morning about Braun and sort of being the odd man out on this roster. Tyler Saladino has probably taken Orlando Arcia's starting spot. Orlando Arcia, as good as he's been on defense, he's been awful offensively. And Saladino definitely deserves more starts, and I think you're going to see more going forward. The Brewers have a potent offense from 1 through 8 right now, and that is a very scary thing for the rest of the National League. The Brewers are starting to distance themselves from the other National League Central competitors. Cubs lost 2 games this week. So did the Cardinals. They're now 3.5 and 4 back, respectively. The Pirates could also be 3.5 back if they lose today to the Cincinnati Reds. They happened to win against the Reds last night, but they played this morning. So if they were to lose, that would be 3.5 back. The Brewers are sort of sitting comfortably. They haven't lost the series since early May when it was against Pittsburgh. They face a Mets team that's okay. They're kind of hovering around 500. They did lose 2 bad ones to the Marlins. The Brewers are going to have to see Noah Syndergaard again. They missed Jacob DeGrom again, which is great. And that's a good thing. They can take advantage of Mats and Jason Vargas. Jason Vargas, an awful pitcher. They get him on Saturday. So there are opportunities for the Milwaukee Brewers to sort of keep this thing going. And you'd like to see it. You just like to see, you know, like right now, it's the point where you expect to win every game. Now, that's unrealistic in baseball. You're going to lose. But it doesn't feel that way with the Milwaukee Brewers. And it feels like they have a chance, even if they're down 2 runs in the 9th inning, or they're down multiple runs in the 7th or 8th. It's always open for them. And if they have a 2-run lead or better, it feels like the door is shut. They haven't lost the game if they have a 2-run lead or better this year. It's an incredible stat. I think the Josh Hader stat, where they're 16-0 and Josh Hader pitches, is kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like a QB win stat. Because it's like, yeah, of course, they put Josh Hader in games where the Brewers are already winning. It's rare that Josh Hader goes into a game where the Brewers aren't already winning, because that's when they need him. So I'd like to see more what their record is if Hader's in a tied situation. Obviously, they're still undefeated, but you get my point. So we'll see what happens tonight. Brewers will, I think you're going to see, I said this in the Brew Cab this morning, I think you're going to see Jesus Aguilar at third base again. I think they'll give Travis Shaw the day off, and you'll let Ryan Braun play first. What'll be really interesting to see where Braun bats. I'd argue that Braun should not bat third, but I think they probably will put him third, have Aguilar hit cleanup, and hit Domingo at 5, and we'll see what happens, though. You never know with Craig Counsell. It is always an experience. I think it would be an injustice if Aguilar is on the bench facing a lefty. He's way too hot to be on the bench right now. And who knows, maybe Ryan Braun starts off on the bench since he's just been activated, and they get him into the flow. A guy like Vargas, who they face on Saturday, would be a great opportunity for Braun to sort of get himself rolling again. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about the Brewers and Mets, maybe talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs, since we haven't done much of that. We haven't needed to. It's been loaded with local topics. Maybe talk a little bit about that as well. So look forward to that. Maybe Song of the Summer too, since we are at that time of year. All right, guys. Take care of yourself. Have a good one. You know where to find us. StoneTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe on all the channels and visit us, StoneTapWI. It is a website. Have a good Thursday. See ya.